Good evening, everyone. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular business meeting of December 7, 2020? First, Jenny, second, Mrs. Donaldson, any discussion? All in favor? Passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve the treasurer's and business office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for November 2020? First, Mrs. Donaldson, second, Mrs. Jordan, any discussion? All in favor? This is Robbie, superintendent's report.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Just want to welcome everybody to tonight's Board of Education regular business meeting. First, we're going to start off. We have two students. Hopefully, they are online with us tonight. This is Becky. That we would like to recognize. We also have Mr. DeJoseph with us tonight, who is our director of physical education and health. But the physical education staff at Babylon High School recently nominated seniors Matthew Minicozzi and Madison Protain for New York State's Association for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance's Suffolk Zone Awards. That recognizes their strong performance in physical education, their overall academic achievement, their leadership qualities, and extracurricular participation. And we congratulate both Matthew and Madison for their stellar efforts throughout high school, both inside and outside of their physical education classes. Congratulations to both students and their families. Yeah. And I think they're on tonight, so welcome. Congratulations, Matthew and Madison. I'd like to invite Mr. DeJoseph to say a few words.
Just following up what you said, the Suffolk Zone nominates two children from each high school in Suffolk County every year. Both Madison and Matthew were nominated by our teachers. And again, not just for their participation and excellence in physical education, but also for their leadership among their peers. So congratulations to both and their families.
Such an accomplishment. Congratulations again, Matthew and Madison. Thank you for joining us tonight. And thank your parents for also celebrating with you in this special moment. Congratulations. We'll be congratulating them also as the year ends, right, Mr. DeJoseph?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, on to other news. Back in December, the district informed the community of New York State's mandatory COVID-19 testing initiative. That would be if and when our school district was ever to be identified officially as being in a yellow, orange, or red microcluster zone. In summation, we received a total of 892 completed surveys back in December, in which 578 responses suggested their willingness to be tested for the novel coronavirus if and when this occurs. That represents roughly 65% of all completed surveys. And on a larger scale, that represents a little over 31% of the overall in-person population. Now, what that means is that helps us meet the 20% mandate to test if necessary. Again, we're ever in that position. So I'm hopeful that we will not be identified, but if we are, we will be ready to implement testing over that two-week period. So stay tuned. I want to thank everybody who helped the district complete that survey, that you really helped us out. So thanks so much for that. On to the next bit of news. On Wednesday, February 10th, our leadership team will begin professional development in diversity, equity, and inclusivity, otherwise known as DEI. There will be 7 workshops covering the following topics: the development of race and racism, structural racism's impact on Long Island, implicit bias, transformation to equity, levers and building and sustaining inclusive environments. Our leadership team will meet every Wednesday for 7 weeks for each two-hour workshop sessions hosted by Elaine Gross, Tracy Edwards, and Natalie McGee, who are all leaders in the field of DEI. Our work is being done in coordination with Western Suffolk BOCES. A number of other districts are also engaging in this similar work. This training is the first step in a process that will eventually include training of all staff members also near that. I want to talk a little bit about the Scala Invitational Art Show. We had three of our students, Jessica Cromb, Alana Lewis, and Olivia Muller, who had artwork that was chosen for the Scala Invitational Show 2020. Congratulations to all of those students. This art show is an annual show designed to showcase the artwork from not only the students, but also showcase their work side by side with their art teachers. Special congratulations to three students, and also to Mrs. Schweider and Mrs. Stork, who have their artwork showcased along with theirs as well. So congratulations to our amazing young artists and our amazing artistic team of teachers that we have. Congratulations to everybody. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much. On to committee reports. Audit committee.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. So we would like to schedule a meeting, possibly on January 25th. Try again. Okay, thank you. Hi, everybody. We would like to schedule a meeting for January 25th. I believe finance is at 6, so we're hoping for 5:30. We are in receipt of the 2020 risk assessment update, and that is what we would like to look at that meeting. So thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Allison. Finance? So I thought there will be a meeting. The next meeting is 6 p.m. Hopefully this time we'll have a nice first look at what it's going to look like, and we're making some discussions, decisions, and kind of thing we're at.
Thank you, Mrs. Juris. Buildings and grounds?
Yes. The roll wall project has begun. The electric has been run, and the steel has been installed for the heating and air conditioning that will go on the roof. The units will probably be in by the end of the month, and we're going to finish up. Also, I have a conflict with finance also, so I'm going to need to change my January 25th meeting date. I'll let you know when that's going to be rescheduled. And that's all.
Thank you, Mr. Melfeldon. Technology?
Good evening. Not too much to report tonight for change. The technology department is testing out a new set of training modules for the required training for the N2D law, and working through help requests and working on some internal payments. And that is our next meeting is not scheduled.
Thank you, Mrs. Curriculum?
Hi, good evening, everyone. Our next meeting is going to be February 3rd, and this will probably actually address DEI, which is something that we've been discussing and working on in the curriculum committee, so we'll look forward to hearing how things are going on February 3rd.
Thank you, and policy.
Good evening. Policy last met on December 7th, where we discussed policy 5151R, homeless children regulation. This is the second revision from the original policy, which dates back to November of 2005. This revision includes transportation to the district of origin, summer programs, and extracurriculars, as well as language of person and parental relation. The first reading is this evening, and the second reading and adoption will take place at our February 2nd meeting.
Thank you, Mrs. Tennant. Moving on to new business. May I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 15? First, Ms. Zorba. Second, Ms. Tennant. Any discussion? All in favor of omnibusing items 1 through 15? That's a 7-0. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 15? Mrs. Jur. Second, Mr. Montalto. Any discussion? All in favor? That's a 7-0. Other business.
Yes, one item for tonight. We are currently looking at the draft calendar. I'm going to be sharing the draft calendar with the Board of Education, and we hope to have the draft calendar for the 21-22 school year approved at a most recent upcoming meeting. Okay? Preferably in January or early February. And once that calendar is approved, we will get it out to everybody. Okay, thank you. Mrs. Rossi, was there any information from organizations? Okay. Moving on to questions or comments from visitors.
Okay, we do have a number of questions for this evening. The first question we received is from Roberta Weisbecker regarding the New York State COVID report card. The question says, according to the New York State COVID report, percentage positive on site, Babylon has been trending higher than neighboring districts on many days, including the yellow zone. Especially since we are in a surge, what confirmation that UK strain on Long Island, what new measures are being taken? So let me begin by saying, I think it's important to note that the state COVID report card gives the percentage of positive tests among all tests administered, whether they be positive or negative. And although the COVID report card of some districts may seem lower than Babylon, during the days after the holiday break, some of those districts did decide to shut down in-person instruction. With that being said, from our experiences, during times when a district is physically closed, we often find that sometimes people unknowingly neglect to inform their districts of positive or anticipated cases. So you might see that information on the New York State COVID report card trending down for those kind of districts because people might not have been informing them from over the holiday break. So generically, what are we doing? Regarding measures, we are staying open as best as we can, and we feel comfortable as to where the numbers are today. Our priority in Babylon is to maintain in-person instruction if we can. Again, if we can staff our buildings, which has not been an issue right now. And we have confidence in the measures and precautions that the school district has put into place with the support of everybody working very hard. These measures include strict social distancing, keeping students at 6 feet apart in our classrooms. It includes students and staff always being masked. And it also includes a 7 through 12 AM PM model that maximizes the safety of students and staff given the current guidelines. So the second question raised by the same parent says, it used to be standard practice that parents received generic notes that did not compromise privacy when there was an illness such as strep throat in their child's classroom. Can parents request notification when a positive COVID test is in our child's class? This question actually came up at a prior meeting. So this is, you know, hopefully the last time I have to address it, but I will tell you that our school nurses reached out directly to the Department of Health about this very issue a number of months back, and they were informed by Department of Health representatives that such notification could be easily considered as identifiable information, therefore compromising HIPAA laws. So that's the recommendation that Babylon was given straight from the Department of Health, and that's why parents might not see those letters going home specifically in the proximity of a small class, okay? We also received a question from Allison Dieberlein that also addresses the same question I just answered about the New York State report card and Department of Health data, the school percentage trending a little higher than the community around us, and I think I explain why that could be. Okay. The next question comes from Roberta Weisbecker again, related to my January 8th email. And I have to tell everybody, when I sent that email Friday night, I think it confused some people, so I'm going to
clarify what that was. I sent an email on Friday night trying to be transparent in simply telling the community how many total positive cases we had among all registered students among our three buildings and employees. That was not to be confused with the New York State COVID report card, which details positive cases among total test takers. So it really had nothing to do with transparency. We were trying to be overly transparent, but there was a typo, so my apologies on that. I presented the percentage of the decimal, but also accidentally included the percentage sign. So overall, the number of positive COVID cases inside the three building school district to date, when divided by the total number of registered students and staff in our three schools, remained at 3.2%.
Since
we started recording according to the portal back in October when that happened. So I just wanted to clarify that. We're talking two different things here. So, you know, giving that number out in the future, I won't give you the decimal, I'll give you the straight percentage, but it's not to be compared to the New York State COVID report card, which gives you a percentage of those positive tests among the number of positive cases for a given 14-day or 10-day period. Does everyone understand that? Okay. Any questions on that?
Can I just say one thing, Mr. Project? Because I know that the Department of Health, the Department of Health also reports out total percentage of total cases since this all started, and I think that number is like 5.1%. So if you look at our total compared to that, I think it's still,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just to compare apples to apples.
We're trending pretty well, but we're also staying open. We're also staying open, you know, as we try, you know. Thank you, Mrs. Wolfe. Okay, next we have a number of questions from Umi Otomo. I'll read each one and I'll ask if Mr. D'Amico can detail some of these. Question number one, at this time, if a student has to switch to virtual due to COVID, are they staying with their current class? Are they no longer switching to the virtual only class?
So in the Babylon Junior Senior High School, if a student has to stay out because they're quarantined or for any other reason related to COVID, they are staying with their regular schedule and streaming into their full schedule. This is also true in the K-6 building. This is something we just started within the last few weeks. So in the K-6 building, if a student's staying out because they're quarantined or any other reason related to COVID, they are streaming into their regular class.
Okay. Thank you. Question number two from Ms. Otomo. If a student has an injury and is, for example, on crutches, can they switch to the virtual class? The student would need help with personal belongings, getting lunch, getting on the bus, so on and so forth. Due to COVID and having to keep the 6-foot social distance, this would be hard to do with a doctor-requested book buddy. The book buddy would have to touch and handle the injured person's belongings and lunch tray. What is the policy on this? Can the student be allowed to switch to the virtual only until they are cleared to go back to school with the help of a book buddy?
So this is a really unique situation and not one that I think we've encountered to date. And I think it's a good example of, although we set policies and procedures, we do also try to take each case individually and take a look at it. So what's unique about this situation is you have a student who is absent, but because of situations related to COVID, they could come to school on crutches. But as Mrs. Otomo points out here, it wouldn't be safe for that student. Because they might need help in the classroom. It's a very unique situation. You would have to consider things like how long would that student be out. Typically, we reserve fully virtual, the fully virtual choice when a parent and family makes that choice for a student, they must stay on fully virtual for the remainder of the semester or the trimester in the case of the K-6. I think the short answer is we really would have to look a little bit closer as the situation. And there could be other options. Perhaps streaming would be an option as opposed to going fully virtual. I think it would depend on the individual case and all of the options and variables considered.
Thank you. And third question, is there a 48-hour delay in switching a K through six students to the virtual due to COVID? A few parents have mentioned that there's a 48-hour wait to switch over. Is the student more absent for these dates?
There is a 48-hour delay, as it's referred to here. I'll be speaking, and this is only in the K-2 and 3-6 building, the elementary school. I'll be talking with both of those principals, and if necessary, I'll put together some language that they can then put out in a newsletter, an upcoming newsletter. There is a 48-hour delay. The reason why we do this is, as you know, the 712 building, teachers are streaming all the time within our AM/PM model. That's something you're dealing with all of the time. So their plans fit into a streaming model. Our K-6 teachers have been face-to-face for the whole year, and we've just started streaming. When they plan for the week, their planning is that all of their students are going to be with them in the classroom. And so when they find out, and it could be on a Monday morning or a Sunday night or a Friday, when they find out that a student's not going to be attending school face-to-face but streaming in, they have to make changes to their plans and they have to prepare. So we felt it's reasonable and appropriate to give them time to do so. Also to give the principal time if there's any accommodations that they have to make as well. Now in that time that they're not in, if there are 2 days, and that's really up to the teacher. They might already have a student who's streaming in, so they might be ready to go to switch over immediately. But if that teacher needs that time to plan, then on those 2 days, work will be going home from the classroom to the home. And I have to say, we've had teachers who are driving to students' homes. The principals, the teachers have all been very creative, flexible, and going out of their way to make sure that that's happening. We had a really unique situation in which it was virtually impossible to get the work. So it's often challenging. That's the way we deal with it.
Thank you. Okay, then we have some questions from.
Oh, last thing, is a student mark absent for these days? No, because there is work going home, it's COVID related. Any student that's home for a COVID related reason is not marked absent.
Thank you. All right, then we have some questions from Mrs. Angela Concani. I'm going to answer as best as I can. Dr. Daly could not be with us tonight. Due to something that happened, an emergency, but he will get back to Mrs. Campagna. First question, is there a process that can be explained to the parents of the district when and if their children test positive or have to quarantine? We are getting the team together to put out an upcoming FAQ on this very topic because, you know, as we live through this reality with everybody else, new situations and new scenarios come up. So yes, that will be going out to parents regarding the steps that would be required, what's expected, how to contact people over the weekends because that helps us, so on and so forth. Question number two, it says, regarding items 10 and 11, there was recently an article published in Newsday about the Bowman Bus Company suing some Long Island school districts for allegedly not paying their invoices once the COVID shutdown began. How did the situation affect our payments to John Bosch? Again, Dr. Daly cannot be with us tonight, but I will guarantee you that he will follow up in answering this question. Same for question number three, is asking about the bus double runs. Have there been any additional charges or fees added for this year because of the route changes? I can answer this, but I'm not ready to answer it until I have the full details. So again, we will get back to the sender of the email regarding the answer to that question. And the same with question number four, what was the full cost of transportation for the 2019, 2020, and 18-19 school years? Again, we will get back to the sender with that information. And also, a financial comparison was done years ago by a transportation consultant that we hired. That work has been published on our website for some time, so I can direct you to that as well. But Dr. Daly, when he returns, will be sure to get in touch. Okay, and then the last email, the board and district is in receipt of an email from Catherine King, signed by a number of families expressing their personal views regarding this district reopening plan at the 7 through 12 level. We want to thank you for that email, and just know that decisions are never easy during such times. With that, please know that the district's decision with respect to the configuration of the secondary school day for the current school year is really based on the available guidance that we have at the time. That includes guidance from the CDC, the State Department of Health, and all of that guidance has been formulated and has been considered with input from various people as we developed our reopening plan. With that being said, preparation and planning is always fluid. We meet all the time. We look at if there are changes in laws and rules and regulations that will help us shift the reopening plan, but right now they have not changed the guidance, especially since Suffolk County right now is continuing to see the rise in cases dramatically. And I don't know when that guidance will shift. I think we're all hopeful someday it will, but right now, as of now, that's not happening. But also as of now, it's important to note that conversations are happening as to what the spring could look like. However, you know, the 7 through 12 is definitely different than the K through 6 level. At the K through 6 level, our classrooms were built to accommodate many more students given the 6-foot distance. Our K through 6 students also travel throughout the day as a whole cohort, whereas the 7 through 12 students do not. As mentioned also, the 7 through 12 building has the physical structure that doesn't accommodate the larger numbers at this time, given the current CDC and state guidelines for social distancing. Again, I think with the promise of the vaccine, which could be very optimistic, and hopefully pair that with changes in the guidance, then we could continue to revisit this along the way. But for now, that's not occurring, and until that occurs, I think we're staying the course, waiting to see where this all goes for now.
Mrs. Rodney, while I hear the concerns of these parents, and I, after having taught 7th and 8th grade for more than 25 years, I understand the needs. We're in a unique situation, as stated, with our 7th and 8th grade. They're in a building that's old, and classrooms are small. And for every email that we get wanting to bring more children back, we get emails and conversations on the other side saying, we feel our children are safe, or even some concerns tonight, maybe we're not as safe, maybe the numbers are getting too high. What are we going to do about it? What new things are we going to do to keep our children safe? As you heard Mrs. Rodney say, that there are conversations happening about what the spring is going to look like. But we don't know what the spring's going to look like. We didn't know we'd be at this rate back in September when we opened. We were all always very optimistic, saying maybe by the second semester, things will look different. Right now, I feel, and I think we feel, we are comfortable staying with the DOH guidelines. As vaccines roll out and the guidelines change, we can look to change what we're doing.
But with numbers on the rise, we're also hearing from other parents, teachers, community members, administration, this is working, or even I'm afraid that we need to do more. So we're trying our best to balance, and as of right now, this model is what's working. This is what our administration, our central office feels is working. So we're supporting them. So thank you for reaching out, and we will continue to listen and try to find better ways. But we have to wait and see how the next few weeks roll out. Anyone want to chime in?
I think you said it perfectly. Thank you.
Any other questions, Mrs. Rodney?
No.
Okay. Future board meetings. Our next work study meeting is January 25th, 2021. First, I think I said that out loud. At 7:30 p.m. Our next regular business meeting is Monday, February 8th, 2021. I have a motion to adjourn. Mrs. Jurr is seconded by Mrs. Noetti. All in favor? Have a great night. Thank you for coming, everyone.
Thank you.